Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read a little bit. It says, he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. That's, of course, talking about Capernaum. Now, Jesus was brought up in Nazareth, but Peter's home is in Capernaum, and Jesus had pretty much made that his home, Peter, James, and John. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. We all need friends that'll take us to Jesus, don't we? Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Now, some people every once in a while, they say, well, Jesus never said he was God. Well, right here, he said, the whole reason I'm saying it the way I'm saying it is so you'll understand, I can forgive your sins. And he's the only one. The Lord's the only one that can forgive. No priest can forgive your sins. No pastor can forgive your sins. I can forgive you that you've wronged me, but that's the limit. I can't go any farther than that. Well, only God can wash away our sins and forgive us completely. And so it says that he rose and departed to his house. Verse 8, when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Their attention, they just praised the Lord. They worshiped him. Verse 9, Jesus passed forth from thence, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now, I've never thought of this that I know of before, but I just wondered, had Matthew been one of those publicans that snuck down to Bethabara and got baptized by John the Baptist? Right? Is this the first? Jesus, remember, Jesus came along and he started gathering up those who had been discipled by John the Baptist. That he had preached to them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus came along and the very first apostles, the very first disciples were the ones of John. And now he's over here and he sees Matthew and he tells Matthew, follow me. And Matthew didn't hesitate. We don't see any record later about him being baptized. And so it just made me wonder, and I won't know till I get to heaven because it's not in there. I just wondered, had Matthew been one of those who had gone down to hear John? Because remember what the Bible says is that they all went to hear John the Baptist preach. It says all of Judea went. I know we're in Galilee now, but I wondered if Matthew had made his way there too and repented and been baptized. And now Jesus comes along. Nobody else might have known about it, but Jesus knew it and calls him up from the receipt of customs, which means he's a tax collector. It's tax season. Welcome. And he calls Matthew into the ministry. And it says he followed him. Verse 10, it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house. Remember what happened, Matthew or Levi? He went and he gathered all of his friends. He said, man, I want everybody to know I'm saved. I want everybody to know I'm retiring from the tax collecting business and I'm going to follow Jesus. And he said, I want all my friends to come. He threw a big party at his house. And look at what it says in verse 10. Many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Publicans and sinners. They were the outcasts. They were the rejects. There are so many little niches of our society, and we don't even think about them because they're not part of our everyday lives. But they're out there and they're unreached. I'm not talking about unreached people on other continents. I mean unreached people here. And nobody has invited them to church. Nobody has invited them to faith. Nobody has shared with them a testimony of salvation. And they need that. But you see, what they do is they get up in the morning and they go to work. And when they get done with work, they go home. They don't mingle about. We don't know them. We've got to reach into those niches, and we've got to find those people, and we've got to show them the way of Christ, the way of salvation. But here are publicans and sinners, the outcasts, the rejects. Nobody wanted them. But they were friends of Matthew. And Matthew had invited them to his house to meet Jesus and to hear the words of Jesus. And they were sitting at that table with the church, with the apostles, with the disciples, with Jesus. They were sitting there having a good time. And they were enjoying their meals. They were eating and drinking and laughing and having conversations. And they were connecting. That's how we reach people. Connecting. And you know, they were having good fellowship and nobody complained about it. The church, the saved people, they were glad they were there. It was dinner. But they were glad they were there and they were just enjoying each other. But then the next verse. Verse 11. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Hold on a second. Where are we? We're at the house of a publican. Mr. Pharisee, what are you doing here? This is the house of a publican. I mean, he resigned earlier this morning, but he's still a publican. He's still one of them. The Pharisees were moving to cause division. They didn't say to Jesus, "Why are you eating with publicans and sinners?" No, they said to the church, yeah, he thinks he's somebody. Look at where he's hanging out. Look at the people he's hanging out with. Trying to cause division. Trying to cause doubt in their hearts. Well, I mean, if he would hang around with people like that, maybe he's not the Son of God after all. If he would hang around with people like that, then maybe he's not all that we thought he is. They were trying to get the church to abandon Jesus. That's what Pharisees do. Pharisees are trying to sow discord and cause doubt, and they wanted them to abandon Jesus. You know, the Pharisees didn't like those apostles either, but they were talking in their ear, weren't they? Remember, somebody that'll gossip to you will gossip about you. And the Pharisees were gossiping about Jesus, weren't they? And here we are, always trying to find fault. The Pharisees hated everybody there. I say they hated them. They didn't like them. They had disdain. They had no respect for them, no regard for them. They had a bad opinion about everybody that was there. And they were there too. They probably had a bad opinion about each other. Because when it comes to this kind of an attitude, these Pharisees, the only person they ever thought was right was themselves. The only one they ever thought was righteous enough for God to love was the one that was looking in the mirror. They didn't love anybody. They didn't like anybody. They hated everybody. But they especially hated Jesus. They had a religious superiority. They thought they were important. They thought, well, this is my church. By the way, I appreciate when we say it's my church because we belong to it. But it's God's church. But don't you ever come in here and tell somebody else, "This is my church, you can't be here." There have been a lot of people over the years that we're better off if they're not here, but I would never tell them, "Don't come in here." And I don't say that, you know, necessarily to be humorous. They cause trouble. They cause division. They're Pharisees. We don't need them. We don't want them. But I would never tell them they can't come. Because it's not my church. It's God's church. And maybe they would be ready to hear from God. They had a critical spirit that was born out of jealousy and pride. Jealousy and pride. And so they always wanted to keep people away from Jesus, and they wanted to put Jesus down, and they wanted to criticize Jesus, and they would criticize you, and they would criticize me, and they would criticize anybody except themselves. Because they had something deep within them that was rotten. Because they needed Jesus too. Look at verse 12. Jesus heard that. Don't whisper around Jesus. I tell you what, don't do it. Don't you think you can whisper around Jesus? Jesus said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, go ye and learn what that meaneth." What does he say? He says, they that are sick need the doctor. You ever been sick and didn't know it? Go to the doctor thinking everything is fine. The doctor says something wrong. You see, the problem is we don't sometimes know that we're sick. Sometimes we don't realize the depth of our illness, of what's wrong with us. And when it comes to sin and when it comes to righteousness, we don't realize how unrighteous we are, how sinful, how wicked, how evil, and how ungodly we are many times. That's the problem. We can't understand the depth of our need for Jesus until we realize how broken we are. You see, the problem is we get in a habit and a pattern of being bitter. And so we don't see that as a sin anymore. We get in a pattern of being negative, and we don't see that as an ungodly thing anymore. We get in a pattern of lying or cheating or whatever it is. We get in such a pattern of sin that we no longer see it as sin. But it's still sin. We have to see how broken we are until so we can see how much we need Him. Sick with sin and sick with selfishness and sick with pride. What was He saying? He was saying to the Pharisees, you need me too, but you don't see it. You need me, but you don't understand it. You need me, but you can't look at yourself and say something's wrong. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, He says in verse 13. Go examine yourself and learn what that means. I want mercy. You think that you're right because you give an offering. You think that you're right because you give a tithe. You think that you're right because you go to church. You think you're right because you handed out a gospel tract. You think you're right because you read your Bible this morning. You think you're right because you rehearsed a prayer at some point today. He said, I want mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is how we treat other people. Mercy is when I can love you even though you're a sinner. Mercy is when I can sit at the table with publicans and sinners and love them as they are where they are. Mercy is when I say to everyone, the church is open to everyone. But you don't understand who I am and you don't understand where I come from. It doesn't matter. Everybody needs Jesus. And we all need to get close to Him. And if this is the closest you're going to get, you need to come on in. I know that God doesn't live in this building. But where else do we come across the prayers and the hymns and the preaching as we do in here? And the love. He says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Repentance. What does that mean? You ever heard the phrase, nothing changes if you don't? Nothing changes if you... Repentance is simply to turn around, change direction. But it is to turn from myself to God. It is to turn from my past to God. It is to turn away from what I'm doing and turn to God. That's repentance. And Jesus says, I'm come to call sinners to repentance. And He said to the Pharisees, the problem is y'all don't think you need to change. But here you are criticizing everybody, including the Son of God. I would say you need to change. You see, we need Jesus. We need Him. We need to get to a point in our Christianity, in our religious life, that we stop looking down on people. Even if they're not growing like we are. Even if they're not walking with Jesus like we are. We need Jesus. We need to forsake sin and forsake selfishness and grow in grace and extend mercy. And as our lives improve through faith, we must guard our hearts not to condemn those without faith or without discipline or with a weaker faith or a weaker discipline. It's easy to criticize. That's why most people do it. It's harder to step away from where we are and out of our comfort zone and go to somebody and help them and love them and show them the way of salvation and the way of righteousness. Would you stand? Father, we love You. We're thankful for this opportunity to be in Your Word tonight. And we are mindful that sometimes we get pretty judgmental about others, because they don't go to church, or they don't pray, or they don't read their Bible, or they don't share Jesus with others. because they sin openly and outwardly. God, we don't want to do those things. We want to be right. We want to do the right thing. We just want our hearts to be guarded, to not be critics and cynics and complainers. So God, love through us. Put in us the love of Jesus. Not only that you would love us with that love, but that we would love others with your love. Dismiss us with your grace. Forgive our sins and bring us back again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.